Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week.
Hello all, and welcome into another episode of the Poetry Tavern. I'm your host, as always, Charlotte, and this week we're going to talk about Diacope. I think I'm going to go with Diacope. I've never heard the word said out loud, but I was like looking online and I was like, I can think of loads of like examples of this in, you know, texts I've read and everyday life and like advertising, which is maybe a bad example, but I couldn't actually think of like many poetic examples. So basically it's where you repeat something, but something is slightly, is something like a word choice is changed so that it has a different effect, or maybe a similar effect, or it adds to the effect, something along those lines. Anyway, before I waffle on for the rest of eternity, let's get on to our first poem. I've been on a bit of a repetition kick recently, not only in the podcast, but also like just generally, if you couldn't tell by the anaphora and then us doing Diet Cope. But I couldn't, you know, escape this without doing this poem, which is Remains by Simon Armitage. On another occasion, we get sent out to tackle looters raiding a bank, and one of them legs it up the road. Probably armed, possibly not. Myself and somebody else are all of the same mind, so all three of us open fire. Three of a kind, every round rips through his life. I see daylight on the other side. And so he's there on the ground, sort of inside out, off the image of agony. One of the guys has his guts back into his body, then he's carted off in the back of a lorry. End of story, except nearly. His blood shadow stays on the street, and out on patrol, I walk right over it week after week. Then I'm home on leave, but I blink, and he bursts. Sleep, and he's probably armed, possibly not. Dream, and he's torn apart by a dozen rounds, and the drink and the drugs won't flush him out. He's here in my head when I close my eyes, dug in behind enemy lines, not left for dead in some distant sun-stunned, sand-smothered land, or 6 feet under in desert sand, but near to the knuckle, here and now, his bloody life in my bloody hands. So the repetition is pretty heavy in this poem, but I'm specifically this week talking about the Diacope, and there's two big examples when I'm reading through this poem. So, maybe not firstly in the poem, but like the most obvious one is literally within the last lines, which is his bloody life in my bloody hands. The repetition of bloody followed by a different word is creating this effect of like truly like it just feels like a punch to the gut. I'm not sure how to explain it. It sort of feels like this whole thing is drenched in this word, like it is steeped in the bloody. And it's so, such an impactful and powerful thing to end it on, to have this repetition reinforce that this was a bloody situation, that this was something that haunts. And I also think, like, it always, whenever I think about bloody hands, I always think about, this may be just me, be a me thing, because I'm a big fan of Lady Macbeth thing of trying to wash your hands clean of the blood and you never be, and like her never being able to the point that it drives her to madness. I think the other example in here that I found that's a bit more subtle is when it talks about the guy being shot, and it's, we've hit this looter a dozen times, torn apart by a dozen rounds. The repetition of this word dozen, but like this, the surrounding changes, it sort of feels like an elevation, like hit, sure it's impactful, like it is the physical impact, but torn apart is so much more visceral. And I just think it's such a strong image to sort of push it further. Yeah, I think it's really interesting. Okay, moving on. Let's get into the next poem, which is The Life That I Have by Leopold Marx. The The life that I have is all that I have, and the life that I have is yours. The life that I have of the life that I have is yours and yours and yours. A sleep I shall have, a rest I shall have, yet death will be but a pause. For the peace of my years and the long green grass will be yours and yours and yours. This one I feel like is sort of the opposite of, I mean, maybe not a polar opposite, but whereas we can find small examples of the diatrope within Remains by Simon Armitage, this is sort of built on it, like the repetition with slight changes. It's really interesting that it is like pushing this idea of everything I have is yours, my life, my love, that I have, and the repetition of I have, and then the repetition of yours, yours, yours. Like, I can sleep and I can rest, but the life I live in death will be, you know, will be yours. Is this really interesting, like, reinforcement? I think this one's certainly, but it is this constant, like, no matter what the word changes, it is always whoever the person that the narrator is speaking to, it always belongs to them, despite the fact that it is the narrator's. It is a really, like, using this one device to reinforce and push that idea and push it even further. And now I'm repeating myself as I'm trying to talk about repetition, which is maybe irony? I don't know. I'm thinking about repetition and I don't have the word for what the thing that I'm doing is. Anyway, before I waffle on, that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you for joining me as I explored a term I had never heard before doing this and probably will never encounter again. On that thread, I've sort of found a list of literary terms, and I've done all of, like, the big ones that I've remembered off the top of my head. So now I'm randomly pulling from this list. And some of them are really funny and interesting to me, and, like, things I didn't know there were words for. So the thing I'm going to be tackling next week is called pleonasm, which I was looking up pleonasm because I was like, is this actually a thing? Or is this list lying to me, or is it a typo? Like, I need to fact check before I actually say it. And it is a thing. I did find several articles that were like, here's how to avoid using pleonasms in your everyday speech. But I did find some that were like, here's some examples of pleonasms and how they can be effectively used. So hopefully I can find some good poems. And if not, I will be talking about pleonasms anyway. So see you next week for that. See ya.